I mean, it's all bone bruise and whatever.
Okay, you guys. What was I thinking? Recording's on.
That's my
J.
Okay.
So we're going to get started.
I'm calling it a J. I'm calling it a J.
It says a Greek J is what
David,
it is.
You're not writing your name.
Phone's off.
Yep.
Everybody's phone's off.
Marty's passing the sign-in sheet around. We got the recording going on. No video today. There's some technology problems. All right. Convene the Planning Commission meeting for today, Saturday, March 7th. It's about 12:31. And let's go ahead and do the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Roll call. Mike Harmer Chair is here. Jim?
Jim Blicky. Dave Jasinski.
Mark Nordquist.
Marty Seitz here.
Jimmy O'Connor.
All right. So we have a quorum, and that's a good deal. I would like a motion to adopt today's agenda.
I'll make a motion to adopt today's agenda.
Right. Second by David. And all in favor, aye?
Aye.
All right, aye. Unanimous approval of the agenda. And Marty had sent the two meetings of meeting minutes around. So go ahead and adopt the meeting minutes for the two meetings he sent. What were the dates on those, Marty?
The one was complete. One was just the final of the August meeting, and we have the draft of the January 4th meeting.
Perfect. So the draft of the January 4th meeting is what we'll be voting. I assume you had a chance to read them. So I'd like a motion to either adopt them, and then we'll do a second and then a discussion if anybody wants to make some changes, friendly changes. So I think that's right. So motion to adopt?
I'll make a motion to adopt.
All right. Second?
January 4th meeting.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Second.
Second by Mark. All right. Discussion, any changes to them or at all? I didn't see any changes needed. Marty had an excellent penmanship.
I noticed that I put down January 4th, 2019. It's really 2020. So.
Yes, I did see that. That's right. I recall. All right. So 2020 is...
Well, we all read them very carefully.
Yes. Friendly amendment of the date.
New year, I'm not quite...
Well, with that friendly amendment to change the year to 2020, motion. Let's go around. All in favor, say aye.
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 So looks like everybody's unanimous as far as approval. So the minutes are approved. And I guess we'll move to the approval. We'll move to the agenda. And I see we have Jim Deeds from town in the audience, and looks like a little barren audience today, probably a little too cold.
Represent the public and the town.
And so Jim's going to represent the public and the town, Jim Deeds. And I think if Jim's comfortable with this, I was going to see if the town had any perspective to add on all three of the agenda items. We're talking about the first one, status of driveway compliance, and then the second one, stormwater runoff, and it's basically all discussion today. And then the possible changes on abandoned homes. So my game plan is that we would discuss these and see if I could get maybe someone like David maybe to run with some items to do some research and maybe work with Jim if he had time. Or maybe we wait till Rick gets back, or if anybody else wants to run with an issue, you can. The first thing to do is let's see if Jim, I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot, if you're comfortable with sharing any thoughts you might have from the town hall standpoint on these as far as what you'd like us to do. I have some thoughts, but if you don't have any, no problem. But go ahead, we asked for Jim to come up. All right.
Some years ago, just to give a little history as far as the driveway issue, the commissioners charged the Planning Commission to review the driveway ordinance that we have as far as the requirements of having two 10-foot driveways or one 20-foot driveway per household per lot. So that we were charged to review what exists in the town and to go out and take a look at it. And that was on the Planning Commission at the time. So we divided the town into about, I think, into three or four quadrants. David King and I happened to take over the north side of town. Overall, what had happened, when we came back, we found out that there were approximately 200, quote, violations that people have usurped the town's property and taken over much more than what they were allowed to do. And the upshot of that was we were to report back to the commissioners, and we did. And Harry Wilson did report back. There was a lot of opposition from the public that attended that they should be grandfathered in where they had and encroached onto the public right away as far as maintaining, opening up a driveway. In other words, some lots we had 50-foot entrance into a 50-foot wide lot. So there were about 20 or 30 people that came in the public hearings, and they followed on to the commissioners, and it just was dropped. It was tabled, is really what had happened, the commissioners tabled. Currently, nothing has really changed as far as the people that continue to operate in that capacity where they've taken over more than they should have. We haven't enforced it. The town has not gone to a point of enforcing it. The town manager did initially ask the property maintenance supervisor to go ahead and maybe stripe some areas to take a look at it. Well, again, we got a tremendous amount of opposition, and the decision was we're tabling this because I think we need a bigger discussion as to what do we do with this. And we're going to have a lot of issues if we take a rigid enforcement stance. So there's got to be a better solution than us just going out, meaning having the town go out and confiscate town's property back and make changes. So I think we need some guidance on this. Do we really want to do a rigid enforcement of it or not? So that's where we stand on the driveways. Signage, I'm not quite sure. There's a lot of signage, and that's a different issue. We do get concerns from people that the town seems to be sign happy. And is there a way we can come up with a different avenue of that? And on the other hand, code enforcement likes the signs because that gives people, they know where you can park and where you can't park. So again, that's another balanced area that I think we're looking for some direction on this and maybe have a public hearing on it at some point as to how to address this and to go forward and make proper recommendations to the commissioners.
So Jim, help me understand. So I haven't looked further down, but in the north end, most of the blocks that are paved, because some of the blocks in the north end are paved,
that's right,
are now marked for where you can park and where you can't park. But some blocks aren't, like Ocean Block of Chesapeake's not marked, Ocean Block of Cullen's not marked. What's differentiating why some blocks are marked and some blocks aren't marked?
It was when the town manager decided to stop everything.
Okay.
That's why.
So basically,
we had so many issues and complaints, and some were, honestly, were more marked. They shouldn't have been marked, but they were. And we decided, we need to take a better look at this. So it wasn't because the north side, the east side of King Charles got a favored status. No, it was the town manager stopped it.
Yeah. Well, one thing I guess to kind of keep in mind is when people kind of feel something's wrong, they speak up and other people don't. And a lot of people who have normal driveways were actually kind of glad to see that the marking were in place so people knew where to park and where not to park and all that kind of stuff.
David, you're absolutely right. Those are the comments we got. We got the people that basically were not in compliance were pretty vociferous about, you shouldn't be doing, the town should not be enforcing this. And others that were in compliance thought it was great.
Yeah. Was any of it complaint driven, the whole process of looking at the driveways?
There was some complaints. Yes.
I think it's trying to capture parking spaces too.
They've lost a lot of money.
I know the town's position for having buying off residents were complaining.
It isn't really fair if you really take a broader perspective. People pay for parking permits. And, you know, sometimes we run out of space, and it's not right that, you know, somebody's taking away a potential parking space for somebody.
Well, it's also just about people knowing where to park. I mean, because of the way we don't have curbs and gutters pretty much anywhere in Dewey Beach, right? No one really knows necessarily where to park on a lot of frontage because it's just not clear. So having some kind of markings enables people to know, I can park here and not get a ticket, or if I park here, I'm blocking what's supposed to be someone's driveway. So I don't know.
And we've actually had people ask us to come and stripe it for them. Yeah. They really wanted it because people are parking all over. They can't even get into their property. So.
Right. I know a lot of people get confused, too. They don't know that you need to be totally off the pavement. Don't pull off and keep the tire on and get a ticket. It's like there's nothing that tells them that they can't do that.
That's a separate issue.
Well, I'm just saying, it's kind of the same.
That's a code enforcement, and I think
it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, what is the town's interest, or maybe that's what we're supposed to talk about, like you say, reclaiming the public property or defining the street. I mean, if you can't go, I think it's a noble effort to go through and paint the street as to where the driveways are, because if you can do that legally or successfully, then you've in fact established where these driveways are and everybody can be compliant because they know what's going on. But if you can't do that because of unknown or or wishy-washy kind of criteria, then it's going to be very difficult.
I don't think that from our perspective it's not wishy-washy. I mean, we know where the town property is, and people know where their lots are, their lot lines are, and it's not a complex issue for us.
You know, there definitely are people, you know, not people, but there are definitely properties that use the entire, as you pointed out, 50 feet as kind of their driveway. And I guess from a policy perspective, the code says it's only 20. Right? Code's kind of clear on it. And it's really just a question of whether the town has the support of the commissioners to say that if you've got 50 feet that's ambiguous, you've got to pick your 20 feet and we'll strike it for you. And then outside of that 20 feet, people can fall apart. You know? Some people are going to get mad about it. And if the town doesn't want that, then from my perspective, the code should reflect what we really do, not optional, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's Mike. I think we could, you know, write that into the code, some type of maybe future corrective actions. There's things that you can say that as people go for permits, maybe, you know, in order to get your permit, you need to go from, for lack of better words, non-conforming to conforming. That might be a happy medium because it seems like the appetite in town politics is not to go backwards, or wouldn't be going backwards, actually, in a way. You could opinion it to be going forward in a positive way, but if they're not willing to, the appetite is not there to go and take away what people enjoy now, maybe we look at an in-betweener code that says that going forward, you try to get a permit, you try to do an addition, you must come into compliance. And that might be the happy medium. I mean, it might not be an opinion, you know, of an individual or whatever, but if we do a public hearing, you know, we can gauge the public process and see what people's opinions are and try to develop a code that reflects that. I mean, we could take the hard line. I mean, we absolutely, the town has right to their public right of way, and that's a way to go. They found that even in the marking, they weren't even taking a stance. They were just going around town marking, and it turned into a pretty lots of complaints, as Jim has reported. So
then what do you do with the homeowner that puts a 10-foot driveway here and a 10-foot here and then pavers the whole thing?
You know, we could,
to the normal person, right, who says, you can't park it.
Yeah.
It's my driveway.
Right.
How do you
got to enforce it from the town. Yeah.
So in my instance, I'm in a twin. So basically, I would have 20 feet and 20 feet. If my lot's 50 feet wide, I could take 40 feet of space if I wanted to.
Right.
But we don't do that. We said, okay, we'll do 20 so people can park here and here.
Right.
So I have a neighbor who has a 50-foot frontage. He uses everything to park. So if we turn around and say, okay, even to a single homeowner, you can't have that big frontage anymore. You just have 20. What if they park 10 cars back in between there? Is that going to create a problem? Because that's what some people will think about. They'll go, well, I lived on a house on Houston Street. We only had a double lot, but we had our entrance. We filled the whole thing up with cars back when I used to rent it. Mm-hmm. We could create that also. So we got to, if we're going to do that, we have to make sure that we say, how many cars can you park in there? Because they may, people might, you know, you get a group house, you may end up with 15 cars all jammed in there. And then what they do is they start cutting through. They did this on Baird. They would park underneath the house and then drive behind houses and come out of other people's driveways. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know what we're doing, but we also got to look at what might transpire if we do it.
Right.
And so we've got to follow that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are some other issues with driveways. One is we don't have real criteria other than it's got to be a 9x18 span. We consider that a parking space. And when we say permeable, I mean, we have some people that decide they're just going to park on the grass. That's their driveway. So we need some clear definitions as to, is it going to be with permeable material? Is it appropriate for people just to park on grass and use that as their driveway? So we need something more than what we have.
So is the code already have permeability on driveways in it?
Yes.
It's
permeable. The grass is permeable.
Right, okay.
And I guess if people want it that way, that's great. We just need some clarity. So when somebody says, I'm just going to want to drive with my grass.
Whole front yard and driveway.
Yeah, whatever. And we actually have one where he's got one entrance. He needs two parking spaces. So what they did was, and I'm not going to mention where it is, but they opened up a 10-foot right-of-way to go into the street. So he parks parallel on the grass, on a hill, next to it, on a slight slope, into the front. And that, he meets the criteria. I know what I'm talking about. But, remember when Mr. Mayor's group brought it to our attention, and said, well, you can park there. We don't have any criteria that says you can't park there.
Right.
Okay, and the other thing I want to bring out, and this has come up, it has to do with people that, and they bring it to our attention, that have a 75-foot wide lot. And the way the town code is, it's every lot is, or property owner, it's 10 by 210 foot or 120 foot. We also have it, and that applies to the commercial district too. For example, the Hyatt, which we built, it's got 120 foot entrance for the entire building. Now, and I think we need to take a look at, do we want to expand some driveway permits? Does one model fit all in the town? And we've had a planned community that came in, and over at the Ivy's, they came in and they had a long strip and they wanted to put additional driveways in. And I think the lot size, lengthwise, was close to 300 or 400 feet. But you're only allowed to have 210 foot or 120 foot. So, I mean, those are the kinds of things that people have come to us and said, can you guys take a look at it?
Right. I guess one question is, when you're looking at driveways, can we really separate that
from parking?
Yeah. And front yard.
Driveways are different than parking on the street. Driveways are very different.
Yeah.
So, David, the code areas that we'd be looking at would be 185.5. Thank you, Jim. We'll get you up here for two in a second. But 185.5, 185-29, 185-35, and 36 are kind of what I picked out as related to driveways and signs. The signs, 185-29D, just says you're allowed to have like parking signs, but they have to be, only they can't exceed 1.5 square feet. So they got to be, nice or whatever, smaller. So maybe since Rick's away, unless anybody wants to take this assignment, because I might save you for something else.
I would say it would be real good with this.
And what's that?
Don't you have that with Doug Carter?
That's what I'm saying. I'm kind of supposed to be doing kind of this related to the code committee anyway.
Good. Okay. You want to do the parking?
This would be the logical one for me.
Perfect. All right. So David's volunteered by default. Perfect. Okay. So David, we'll try to figure this out. And
I guess I kind of want to understand from the committee here, what's our ultimate objective? What are we trying to accomplish with this?
Well, I'll make it up.
And say the town take their property back and find their driveways. Make a stance on it, and that's that.
So Jimmy's saying take a stance for the revenue standpoint.
You're going to have certain circumstances, obviously, that you, at that point you do a one-on-one basis. But I think the town should go through and claim their properties back.
Regardless of grandfather, because if you think about it, if the town owns the property, then the town should grandfather and say, this is our property, well, so...
I certainly don't think we should be giving away public property based on someone's perception of a grandfather issue.
At $200 or $250 a permit, you've got to give the people what they need.
Is there kind of some concurrence around we should be doing that? Because when I look at it, it may necessitate some code changes, but it may not. It may just be a policy decision that the town does.
Right.
Maybe. You could, in your research, figure that out. I think that another perspective could be the going forward, which might be a little more appetizing for others. I'm not advocating for any, but it doesn't matter to me. I'd actually be more on Jim's side in a way because of the revenue town probably needs. But from the standpoint of the grandfathering issue and the what's mine is mine, you can't take it away even though I didn't get it legitimately, or they might be able to prove that maybe there were mistakes made during the permitting process. But either way, maybe look at it as a second option going forward. If you do get it, pull any permit. If you're not getting a permit without correcting your, and maybe you could be a radical permitting zoning code statements that says, even if you're pulling a permit for anything in the code, like, a tree or a deck or anything you're doing, you're fixing your parking along the way. That'd be almost to where you're at, because
Fred,
anybody wants to build a deck.
Fred's not here, and he'd be the right person to really weigh in on this, and I can email him.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
But my instincts about the law would tell me that the driveway is the property owner's egress, right, mm-hmm. to the public right-of-way, which they have a right, but they don't have a right for any amount of egress.
Exactly.
And the town says that your right of egress is 2 times 10 or 1 times 20. Mm-hmm. The town has every right to do that, and the town has every right outside of that egress to stripe it and say that this is where people with a parking permit can park.
Or
it's town property.
Or look at a fee in perpetuity. If you want to enjoy the right that you've taken, the public at right away, then the fee you will pay would be equal to the revenue that the town would lose, so that the town gets the revenue either way, and that might be an immediate way of correcting it. I'm just making up things. I get challenged in my own code writing world of how to correct things like
so,
that. But
so I'm gonna be devil's advocate on this, right? Some people, it's just some people. It's not aimed at anyone. But some people don't like it when people park in front of their house. Right? Mm. They just don't.
That's
like
why
it.
They put their mailbox.
Yeah.
In the
middle of their house. So you've got a 20-foot driveway, and then you've got another 30 feet, which is a car in 2/3,
okay.
roughly speaking. So the revenue associated with that is 2 parking permits a year. So you as a property owner say, I'm paying whatever a parking permit is these days, 180 or whatever. What's that?
200 now.
200 now.
So $600.
So $400 a year, because I don't need one for my driveway.
It's 150 for the property owner.
For property
owner. So for $300 a year, no one can park in front of my house. My entire 50 feet is driveway. It's more than revenue. It's also about a service to the
I don't think we could do that. You're right. That's a good point.
You're basically saying it's private property.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're only paying $150, if you on a daily basis, what that would cost over the summer. So you're talking from May 15th to September. What if somebody parked there every single day and got a permit out of a kiosk? Would that be more than $250?
Of course.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. It's one or the other. But
all right. Just ideas. We'll flip that to that. Just ideas.
It's also, I think, how would I put it? If you offer people the opportunity to kind of buy their way to have something that their neighbor can't afford, it just, It just, I'm not trying to totally shoot it down, but you kind of what I'm getting at.
I think you're right. This is a way different situation in my world of code writing, but you're right. I mean, so that's something that obviously David brainstorm, yeah. work it offline. Then we should have a public hearing, maybe in the summer sometime or going into the fall, and figure out what other people's ideas are, and might even try a communication campaign like the town might, if they could afford a resource. Right. If we go into a public hearing like that, do a communication via the town mailing, because, we want to make sure we get those folks that we're calling. They take the time to call when they see the paint, but let's get them in here in this meeting and say, where do you get off on, saying that, you can do anything with that land because you don't own it? I'll tell them straight up. I really don't care what they think. Matter of fact, So now I'm not the elected one. I'm not the appointed one, it's up to us to make a recommendation to the town council, and then their appetite would be whatever.
So kind of a question kind of on the scope, kind of going back to the point that was made earlier. About the implied effects. So mm-hmm. suppose we have a set of recommendations that ends up that the town kind of take back and enforce what they have, and you have the unintended consequences. Well, the unintended consequences are totally different to the driveway set of code. They're the parking set of code, and they're the yard set of code, like what you're allowed to do in your yard, right? So my question is really, what's the scope of what I'm doing? Does it go into yards and parking?
Parking on the yard. Now you took my parking away, and I'm going to park on the front yard. I would say yes in a way, but I'm not. I'm just because I'm a chair, I don't mean anything really. Yeah. I'm just my off the cuff reaction would be, I think you'd have to take a peek at that. Yeah. Everything related to driveways. And, signs gets into it because they talk about driveway signs in 185-29D. Right. There might be somewhere in there that says you are or not allowed to park on the grass or whatever. Jim or Mark was talking about how they all, parking everywhere on the yard, every inch of square space.
You keep trying to say something, Marty.
There's two things. One is if you're giving property owners the privilege of buying that property in front of their house on an annual basis, are you going to give a annual owner of a sticker a designated parking spot? In other words, my parking spot is 20 feet in from the highway, and I don't want anybody there, and when I drive in on Friday night, I want to be able to park there. Yeah. It's almost the same thing. This is designated property that you're leasing or something. So I think it gets very complicated.
Yep.
The other is, I think we sort of feel a consensus. I think from a planning point of view, or commissioners, planning commission, we're looking to say that, there is a distinction between what belongs to the town and what's public property and what belongs to the private. And we want to see that. I think if we had a motion, we might pass a motion that says that we want to see that continually enforced. In other words, we want to make everything that belongs to the town available to the town, and everything that's private to the private people, and that's a general, that's a general policy of a planning commission. I think we would pass something like that. I think that's guidance. I think if the commissioners see that, if the town commissioners see that, and they say, okay, that makes sense, and we're willing to enforce it. If they're willing to enforce it because it's a reasonable thing for the town to be doing.
So
it's part of planning. It's a planning commission.
So
commandment,
Mark,
to do that.
You kind of brought up the unintended consequences, and I look at this as saying in the usage of yards. And right now, there's some language in the code about your yard has to have a certain amount of kind of green space, whatnot. And maybe since your driveway is separate from your parking, and your parking is essentially typically in your yard, right? It's in your front yard or your side yard. That maybe we should think about language around yards can only have parking up to the required amount for that, possibly plus one or something like that, if people want a little bit more parking for their thing, so that you don't get the parking lot, basically the all the properties of parking lot. Right.
So as I sit on this committee, my whole front yard is a parking lot. Right. My tenant, my people next door to me.
Yeah.
So basically, no matter what we talk about here affects me, and I'll do whatever I have to do. But I buy 2 parking permits every year.
Right.
And I park on the street.
Right.
My whole front yard is 3 parking spots, 3 parking spots.
Right.
So again, you know, am I taking part, and by me buying 2 parking permits at $150 each or only $300, am I depriving the town of additional income if that was a parking spot every day? So no matter what we talk about here, this all influences me.
Sure.
So
here. Well, I'm more asking not so.
Which, and it doesn't bother
me. You understand the issue.
But what I'm saying is I'm actually living it. So I'm a perfect example of what's going on.
Right.
You know? And I do the 20 foot, we do the 20 foot, but that's how it was when I bought it from the Moors.
Yeah.
And it is what it is, but whatever happens transpires. So you can be sitting out here in the crowd and not agree, but I'm sitting here right here and it affects me, so I'm going to go with the flow.
Right.
So.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to get is before I kind of go down this path, you know, offline, is I'm trying to get to if, you know, your driveway, while you're allowed to use it, kind of half as parking, they have that, like, you know, you can park halfway in the driveway or whatever that is.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
another rule. It's 85.
Yeah, there's some little thing, but taking that out.
36, then, yeah.
Do you think that stating that there is a maximum amount of parking that can happen in a yard is worthwhile in the code in terms of, will it, I mean, it doesn't, in the North End, it doesn't affect things so much, so I don't see it like on a daily basis. But in resort residential, I think it makes a big difference to a lot of people. And do you think that is burdensome for a large number of people?
Yes, I would not support that at all myself, but I'm only one. Because, you know, I can think of a particular house that has the whole width of the property. It's a 5,000 square footer with a big giant beach house on it. And they have the whole width of the driveway, as many houses do, all the way up to the pavement.
Right.
So if the town got away with making it a 20-foot entrance and took that one spot back, all right, then they would still want to enjoy the 20-foot access and then parking as many cars. Right now, they could probably get two under the house, three and three. So it's like, you know, six, seven, eight, or so. They get eight or nine cars in there now. They might only be able to get, you know, seven or eight there. Then that's more than the amount of room, so they should be allowed.
What
to
I'm kind of hearing from you, I don't want to work on a scope that we think is either just going to be too burdensome for people or just not, you know, sellable. So what I'm kind of hearing is trying to regulate parking within the yards is probably somewhat difficult to do.
That's cool.
I would say that.
Because if you're, let's say on Barrett Street, you have a house on stilts.
Right.
They're going to go in, it's two units. They're going to go in here and here, and they're going to park all the way to the backyard and all the way out, two cars abreast, and whatever. And like you said, what are you going to do? Give them a parking spot in the middle? And they're going to fill that in.
Yeah.
I think once we get out of the driveways, we're kind of stepping out a little bit.
Just keep it to the driveway and try to keep it in a box. Now, if the commissioners come back, we make a recommendation, and they come back, a couple of them are here, recognize, you know, Commissioner Gary and Dale here are here. They might be able to chime in or might not want to chime in, but if we keep right to the driveways, I'll call that staying in the lane.
Stay in the lane, you can get something done.
We've got to make sure we don't create any other ramifications.
Is there a safety issue associated with putting 20 cars around your house? In other words, access to fire trucks? Or
nah, it's, I mean, it's, probably a fire marshal could make an issue of it.
They've got hoses to go right over
their hoses. They can do it from the street.
I think it's independent of, I mean, you know, parking on your drive on your yard is independent of the issue about reclaiming back the
okay. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And I wanted to get everyone's sense of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there anything real quick in the code that says, if you have a twin, you have two 10-footers, that says you must put them in such a location that you are creating a space in the middle? Because I've seen people who have two 10s, but the space they leave in the middle, you can't get maybe
on either end
there.
I don't remember seeing that.
Putting 40 in the middle and then five and five on each end, you're not going to park anything there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you put it over in enough, you kill the middle, and then you kill the sides too.
Again, for everything that we do, we have to think of the ramifications of what everybody else is going to think.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's why I say we do just the middle, and that leaves us two parking spaces in front of the house for them to do. Originally, we could have done the same thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to correct my earlier statement. It's not 185.36 on the driveway thing that you mentioned. It's 158-5 is driveways, and that's where it says persons with established driveways not more than 20 feet in width may park partially on the public right-of-way. It's the 158. So you're going to have to go through and, like, really, you know, fine. There's more than one section that affects driveways. And it looks like Commissioner Persinger.
You have to have 20-foot space between the two 10-foot driveways.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay. Thank you, Jerry. All right. So that's our discussion. As if no one in the audience wants to say anything on that, we're going to move to two. All right, Jim.
Did
day forward, and since we've had a new town manager, we're requiring all new homes to give us a driveway plan ahead of
Perfect.
Time. So there is a day forward. People are in compliance as they're building their homes.
So right now, if that didn't record, Jim Deeds from the town is saying that all new applications going forward for new houses are being told to be in compliance with the 20 feet, which is great news. And Commissioner, what's that?
Is that in the code or does it change when it's
That might be their permitting rule. I'm not sure if that's in the I don't know if that's in the
I think it's in the code. You can have 2 10-foot or 1 20-foot. We're just requiring, give us your plan.
No. Yeah, he's asking for a driveway plan.
Does the regulation say that, or does the town manager say that he might change next week and we'll get a new town manager and say, I don't want to fight?
The regulation says 20 feet or 2 10-footers.
So they're talking about the plan.
So when you build a new house, you are allowed to require people to come into compliance with the code.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You don't need to write that in the code.
It's
kind of
an
underlying
thing. Yeah. The only thing I'm going to say to you is that Jim says absolutely, I've never seen it in the code that it says you've got to give us a plan for your driveway. It does say you've got to give us a plan for your placement of your house and the trees on the property and what you're going to cut down. But it does not, as far as I know in the code, say you have to give us a plan for your driveway. And you should request that of the town. You should say we recommend that the town do that. Mm-hmm.
We can put that in. I mean, David, you could consider that because that's an easy statement. We do have plan site plan requirements. So in there's a site plan requirement section.
New construction and additions require a site plan.
Yeah, I'm saying just that your own driveway plan on those site plans, you should have to show the adjoiner's driveway too, so you know if you're creating still a spot on each side and not just one in the middle, because you might want to shift them.
Yeah, to be efficient.
20, 10-10, you say, hey, if we slide it over 3 feet, guess what? Here's the neighbor's drive. There's a spot.
Yeah, that's so that would be 185-76, and that's preliminary site plan requirements, which we'll talk about in item 2 a little bit. But the preliminary...
185-76,
yes. It talks about preliminary site plan requirements, and we did mess around with that in the P&Z a couple years ago. I think we were trying to say, hey, look, you know, we want to make sure that an applicant only has to submit once so that the Jim Deeds in the town doesn't have to go back and say, oh, by the way, give me a driveway plan. They're like, where'd that come from? You know, so, you know, Jim, keep going. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Obviously, you know, you guys need to see that. But we could also help out by in transparency and also maybe in helping an applicant understand what their a full submittal would be. To look at adding wording in there. If we don't get anything out of this exercise, we might get that statement in there. That's a pretty easy one to add. Yeah, so
right now, the separation, I would imagine, doesn't specify separation from the neighbors, only specifies separation with your driveway. I would imagine that's what it says. I haven't looked at it.
I think you're absolutely right. It doesn't deal with
the neighbors. From our perspective, I guess what I'd like to say is that we could have a motion that says that the town should continue to work to delineate the public property from the private property and take advantage of the value of the common property that we have. Mm-hmm. To do that, there's a number of things that could be implemented by town hall, such as when somebody comes in for a permit, that there's a structured way to go through that to make sure that that's compliant and so forth. And there's a number of, but that's not our plan. In other words, that's not for us to decide. That's really for town hall to decide. How are they going to implement this? They're going to paint some of the pavement to show this. Mm-hmm. They're also going to have compliance when people come in for permits. They're going to be in the traffic court, and the traffic court judge is going to be able to say something about it that also is in line with what we're trying to do here. So there's a plan, and there are a number of things that might be implemented, but I think our responsibility is to just reassert or reiterate that, in fact, this is public property and it should be claimed and maintained as public property.
Well, close. I think that because the planning code 185-76 mentions the site plan requirements, we could help the town by adding wording in there. It says in those requirements, a driveway location, you must delineate your driveway. It doesn't have to be a driveway plan because we could say you have to indicate your driveway on the site plan. Take care of a separate submission.
I don't mind getting into the details and suggesting things like traffic court or whatever else might be suitable. But it really is up to the town hall about how you implement it.
Yep, it absolutely is.
But the assertion that we would make, I believe that's that would be valuable for us to do, is the, you know, the part of reclaiming or continuing to claim and assert the responsibility of the town to assess this, to have this public property in their possession.
Yep.
Possession and use. And so, you know, I would make a motion to that effect if that's what we want to do today, something like that.
Not today, Marty. I think if you could hold that thought until we come back and go through the public process,
sure.
We add those statements to whatever ordinance we make, because the ordinance is going to say 185, this, that, or the other changes, et cetera, et cetera. We have a public hearing on that ordinance either after or at the same time. We get the public input, and we'd add, some guidance to say, hey, when you guys are writing permits, do this, that, or we suggest you do this, that, or the other. But whatever we put in a code will solidify and make it transparent that Jim or whoever's in Jim's chair or town hall town manager or the building code official will be looking for delineation of your driveway parking to whatever words you put it. We put
so
in. There.
I haven't looked it up, so I don't have it in front of me. But I want to make sure I'm clear on the definition of the location of the driveway. Driveway, it starts at your property line and ends at the street. Is that correct? That is the actual location of the driveway?
I don't remember. I've read it a bunch of times. I don't know that it's detailed like
the
that.
Driveway entrance. The driveway entrance, I believe. Driveway entrance goes from the pavement up to your property line, and then your driveway goes into your property.
So your driveway encompasses space on your own property as well?
The driveway encompasses your private property. The driveway entrance is on town property.
So that would say that people can't have a driveway, an area to drive on that's wider than 20 feet on their property.
I don't know how long.
Yeah, because my house, you come in 20 feet right to the right away, and then the asphalt jogs left another 10 feet and then goes back to the house.
Yeah.
That way I only kept the 20-foot asphalt, but as soon as you get in there, and it opens up.
Yeah, I'm just kind of trying to think this, because when people think in their head that the driveway is not necessarily what it says in the code, so I'll have to look at the actual legal definition of location.
It's going to be interesting, your findings. Commissioner Persinger?
Just one point about the preliminary site requirements. It does include location of all existing proposed site accesses and entrance driveways.
Oh, okay.
But what's not clear is whether or not a preliminary site plan is even required for building an individual house.
Oh, okay. Geez, we might have to look at the building side of it. Yeah.
Plus, that site plan review and approval from the town commission shall be required for the development of two dwelling units or any mixed-use structure.
Yeah, right. For a single house, no. Yeah.
That's the loophole, then.
But what happened, just for clarity, when somebody wants to build a new home, they give us a site plan. They give us the entire, we look at everything.
Yeah, you have to get it.
One of the first things we look at is how many bedrooms and how many parking spaces do you require, and where are you going to locate those spaces, that driveway and the spaces of the property. It just flows.
Yeah.
If you can't give it because we're not going to authorize you to go get a permit.
Wow, so you got a lot. That's you're going to be all over the map, David.
Yes, that's kind of where I got into the parking. It leaks all over the place. But I get it. So I'll be glad to take that.
All right, awesome. So I guess if everybody's okay, anybody have anything else to say on number one? We'll go to number two on stormwater.
We're just dealing with number one at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what we'll do is Dave's going to do some research, and when he concludes his research, probably email me or whatever, and then we'll look at setting up a public hearing, or whether it's a public hearing without the ordinance first, or whether it's a draft ordinance and public hearing. We'll figure that out through an email and keep Gary in the loop to see that and Jim to make sure that that's the direction.
And the assigned member is David.
Yep.
Okay, good. Thanks.
All right. Number two, stormwater runoff. Best practices by a resilient community partnership project. So discussion among planning and zoning about stormwater runoff and assign a member to review the best practices presented by the resilient community partnership project regarding individual responsibility for stormwater runoff. Consider what, if anything, needs to be part of the town code. So I looked just briefly in the codes that might apply. There's 185-76, which is preliminary site plans, and then the stormwater management code is 185-88. 8. That's an 8-8. So I should have pulled the Resilient Community Partnership project, which I was not familiar with. Is there anything that the town can add to what possibly the commissioners were thinking there? I think I know, but Jim, I don't know if Jim, you have anything to say on that, and then we launch some work on that as far as stormwater runoff. I'm thinking Rick might be a good one on that since he's kind of a developer. He might want to take it. If not, you know, see if anybody else wants to take it. If not, then I'd take it. So, since I'm a civil engineer,
I'm going to defer to the commissioner on this one because I think there's several issues here. One, you've already got the market. I mean, the infrastructure committee that's working with that.
Study.
So I have a say on the part of the partnership, and that would be Jim Tyler. The town manager has been actively involved with the Center for Inland Bays on this one as well. And I think this is a real broad topic of just how do you deal with the stormwater drainage in the town. And I think what the way I'm reading this is the responsibilities. Who really, you know, what's the private owner's responsibility versus the town's responsibility? Mm-hmm. And I think this is a big discussion. I'm not quite sure how to approach it from the town's perspective. I think this is why it's being referred to the Planning Commission for some guidance on this.
I was thinking a workshop, maybe with the everybody, you know, do the infrastructure committee, you know, the us, possibly the commissioners, and just say have reports from, so we all hear it. From the horse's mouth, like maybe an infrastructure committee tells us what they're doing with the study that was done and grant money, and you know, and then we hear from the town manager might be able to come and tell us you know what he's working with the Inland Bays. I think there was that project on Reed Street. They were going to you know, pump the water into the marsh or whatever, like we did on Bayard, and then you know we could. I think in our work with Remington Vernick, part of their assignment was to look, you know, fly over on some stormwater issues, and they might be able to find in their efforts there, we could point them towards, like, P&Z could stay on just the individual properties issues. Like, is there anything the individual properties can do to help with the stormwater runoff? You know, you built a big house. It wasn't there before. Is there anything on site that can be done from, you know, that Remington Vernick sees in other communities on site in an ocean town? See, the problem with here in Dewey is you know, the elevations. So north end, you got a little room to work with, but in the middle of town, you're, you know, 3 to 6 feet, and there's nowhere for the rain garden to work, you know, the infiltration to work real good. They might work a little. So I don't know. I haven't done my own research on beach towns with that situation, high groundwater table, not much gravity to dispose of whatever's left over, whatever doesn't infiltrate, because sometimes nothing will infiltrate because it rains and the groundwater table is like all the way up. And so where, you know, that won't work in those situations, but it'll work at, you know, at other times when it's drier maybe. So
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. Presented.
Okay.
We do. The north side does have some issues, quite frankly.
Okay.
And, we hear it on some property owners, St. Louis, West Street. What's happened is the road is actually higher than the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
The water settles. It doesn't perk. And there's no stormwater drainage for to take it out. So, I mean, it's eventually it's going to impact the entire town.
Yeah. So those are maybe easier fixes. I just saw, you know, even right here, that, you know, coming in, it's fire ironic. We had a town meeting this morning, and there's a big puddle, you know, right there by where, you know, at the entrance. We're curious as what happened there. But
I guess my question on that is there anything in the town code and then the building code that we require linked to in the town code that requires when people put in their site plan about elevation, like what you have to do with your elevation of your own property in terms of the ground, the surrounding grade?
I think there is a survey.
That I've seen is it deals with drainage and not to cause a flooding problem for your neighbor. So don't, you know, if there's a swale, a natural swale in between properties, you're supposed to leave it to drain. But we don't have anything that says you have to have the raises. We have nothing to go to.
We don't have anything to go to. Is there anything that, so it's
just basically whatever the building code requires, is that kind of deal?
Doesn't address it.
Doesn't really address it. Okay.
Yeah, no, Newcastle.
Only for adjoining property, not build and create a drainage problem for somebody else. That's really what it talks about.
Yeah, Newcastle County has that in place. You can't be grading onto your neighbor's property. Mm-hmm. We also say, if you're building the lines and grades plan put together, you have to demonstrate adequate conveyance, is what they call it up there. So basically, they were considering it for a while. If you drain your property to the right of way, you've met adequate conveyance, because that's the road is basically your conveyance system. But now it's still creating problems. So now they're saying you have to have an engineering stormwater analysis of that watershed and now show where that water is leaving your property and how it's going to affect where it ultimately ends up. Are you overtaxing that system?
Yeah,
and then you have to do on-site remediation, seepage pits and things like that.
It probably wouldn't be practical here in Dewey because of you've got, unless the road can be brought down to the same level of the grass, it's almost impossible unless we allow people to infill their property.
But then you're allowing people then to make existing problem worse.
Yeah, because they can't drain it onto the road.
They have to have some sort of on-site containment.
Oops.
from the impervious area.
But the problem is the water table here is what factors into everything. Yeah. I mean, you go dig a hole. I can dig a hole in my yard, and I'm at 18 inches, and I'm gonna hit water. So
in 18 inches. Above ground containment system that they have.
Right.
Waters go into some sort of holding tank.
Full moon, it's gonna be a lot higher. Huh? The full moon, if we have a storm, it's not gonna perk in because the tide's already up there underground. So we have that issue to deal with.
Above ground containment of some sort.
It's worse on the south than it is on the north because of the elevations.
All right. I'm sorry, Commissioner Persinger, go ahead.
I think the task may be a little more focused, perhaps, than you're thinking.
Okay.
The organization that you mentioned in the agenda, was mentioned in the agenda item, came and did a presentation for us, and they had a whole series of specific strategies that would improve stormwater management. And they were doing the same presentation among a number of different towns up and down the coast. They then asked us, as commissioners, to prioritize some of these things and to think about which ones might be required by the town, ones which might be encouraged as a voluntary measure that a homeowner may take, and maybe a third category as well. And I don't know how the results of that canvassing came out, but one thing you should do is, unfortunately, you don't have that presentation. You could start from that presentation, and whoever you decide to have work on this could then take a look at those strategies and then begin to make some preliminary decisions. You know, which one of these things makes some sense in terms of the town requiring them versus being a voluntary thing that the homeowner could undertake on their own. That's a good starting place. You mentioned the Chris Fazio work, which we did approve earlier today.
Okay.
We added that issue in there about better stormwater management and good flood protection. That actually began to make Chris feel a little uncomfortable, I think, in terms of your interactions with him. He was a little worried about how broad that might be, but I think if you focus on those specific strategies, at least as a starting point, that's a good place to go. And it limits the scope of what we have to consider, at least initially.
All right, I'm taking notes there, and that's what I will, unless anybody feels strongly.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
So unless anybody feels strongly on the board here about they want the assignment, I'm going to take the liberty of assigning it to Rick for his punishment for not being here and enjoying the Bahamas while we're all freezing.
My second dimension.
We got a second by Mark. So, Rick, if you're watching, no, you can't watch, that's right, but if you're hearing, I hope you're loving your new assignment.
I'll text
you. Well, the default is... He's not listening.
Yeah, and I'll be your backup if needed.
The default is that you'll do it if Rick doesn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to make sure you're going to forget that piece, but that's okay. I did say it. All right. So if there's any more discussion on item two, if there's not, we'll move on to three.
Let me just ask Gary, is this presentation available online, or what's...
We'll have to dig it out for it. I don't think it's available online, but it is accessible.
Shoot us a link or something to it? Or
if there is one. I'm just not sure where it is at this point.
Okay.
I know I've got it in my file somewhere.
Do you? Okay.
To dig it out.
All right, good. Thanks.
So we'll get the copies for you.
Wow, okay. Thank you very much. All right.
Number three.
Moving on to number three, abandoned homes and properties. I didn't find a good spot in the town code, so I don't know if there's anything the town can add to it. There's nothing. That's what I thought. Okay. 138 property management doesn't mention that. It says you got to take care of your house and blah, blah, blah. So you're looking for some new language somewhere.
What we research is the only thing that we have got is you got to mow your lawn.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Okay.
That really is in a nutshell. But there is a section in the code, in the building code, which we adopted from the, we adopted the county's building code, which does have something that addresses homes that are neglected, but it's not, it only is deals with businesses, not residential property.
All right.
So we have nothing on the books for residential property.
Is this an issue in Dewey Beach?
It's not a big issue. I would say you've probably got about, I'm stretching, maybe 10 properties that are really in bad shape.
I mean, there was that one on Chicago Street years ago that the town, and I think it was only because of the land lease was it able to.
That was right on the corner.
Yeah.
Right
at the very end. It was only because of the land lease that Rose ISD was able to take care of it on their end.
That was a problem now. And we've got several other ones, you know, and you know, they pay their taxes, but nobody lives there, and I don't think anybody could possibly live there.
So we could...
Bayer and Salisbury, two old houses, empty for what, 10
one
years?
One looks like it's ready to come down.
Come down. Anyway. Okay, is that something in the building code, that they deem it structurally unsafe, that they have to remove it?
It's not that clear in our code.
It's not, okay.
The condemnation issue, we don't have it in our code.
So the assignment, if anybody's willing to take it, would be to...
Okay,
Jim, sorry.
Doing my whole research when I was going through the original town fathers and ordinances that were passed, the town building inspector would bring it to the attention of the commissioner that we have a property that is in terrible shape that needed to be fixed up. And the commissioners actually passed ordinances directing the property owner to make necessary repairs. And that goes back to 82 and 83 and 84. And after that, I haven't seen anything.
So
there was a prior history of that.
So you think we should look at that, or?
I think we need some guidance. And I think it really is a blemish on the town to have, especially if you live next to it.
I'm just also concerned about, you know, as this resiliency issue grows, if indeed we do have some type of sea level rise happening and global warming and all that, that, you know, the town might be faced with this, you know, in more and more cases, because you get a big storm and more than one person gets wiped out, you know, you might end up with people saying, I don't have any money to deal with that. So I think we should put something in place, and we can make an assignment of somebody who wants to take it, if anybody wants to take it. I don't know if anybody has time to... you know, here's what it would be. You would get find the ordinance. I don't know if, Jim, is that something you could find for us?
I'll dig it out. I'll find
so if you could email it to us, that'd be great. So we'd look at the ordinance, but then look at other town ordinances on abandoned homes and just come up with draft language. And it might be added to 138 property maintenance, or maybe add another section at the end of, you know, the codes, wherever it belongs. You know, you don't even have to put a number on it. Fred could do that. But, you know, what would the language say? And it could be as much as two paragraphs. It says, if you own an abandoned home, this is what's going to happen. You know, we'll let it go for, you know, a year. And then if you don't, no action happens, and, you know, you're the town will do the work and lien your property or whatever the law, you know, Fred says we're allowed to do. I mean, it's just as simple as that. You don't cut your grass, we cut it, we lien your property, period. You know, I mean, you can't let abandoned homes stay. I mean, you can now, but not after we get the ordinance in place.
Some are abandoned and some are just terrible disrepair.
Yeah.
Well, at least with the abandoned ones, you get some extra parking space out front. So you're
exactly. Hey, that helps the parking, that's for sure. So, it did say neglected or abandoned property. So neglected or abandoned. All right. So the detailed language of what was sent to us from the commissioners. So, anybody looking for anything to do going into this, or are we gonna sort of try to just do it as a group? Anybody? Dave's already maxed out. Jim, do you think you can look at it, maybe up the county code up there?
Yeah, there's definitely maintenance codes. So you can maybe pull some of the
items out of it to, you know, see which ones are applicable.
Yeah, just
work down here as well.
Oh, okay. Maybe you can just come up with, like I said, something simple, you know, that shouldn't be a lot of work, and email it to, I guess, keep the foil. If you email it to us all and don't comment, don't ask for a comment, what you could do is just email it to me and Fred and Jim. Why don't you do that? And then, unless anybody else wants a piece of this, but you'll get a piece of it when you next meeting.
I'll volunteer to help him out. I would enjoy
it. Okay.
I guess the only question is, should
I? I'll volunteer. I'll go with you. If you need a hand.
Okay.
Once you guys work it out, and then you email it to me, and then I'll set up for the next meeting, and I'll say, we'll talk about it at the next meeting.
Should the scope of it include, for lack of a better word, junk in yards?
Well, neglected properties, so you could.
Sometimes it becomes a problem. People basically turn their yard into an old appliance storage bin, right? You know, and I mean, I don't have any around me now, but I don't know if there's any in town or not.
I think that code already—it's already in there. Something that it probably has it in.
There is nothing in there that says for storing junk. It deals with the way I think on the Chicago one that we were dealing with had to do with became unsafe. Because he had so much stuff back there.
Okay.
Fortunately, we were able to deal with her.
The fence
was just unsafe
property.
And we were able to address it from that point, but it really helped when Brother by the Sea stood up and said, as it turned out, he hadn't paid his land lease fees either.
All right, so Jim and Mark will draft some language based on some research, and if you email it to when you're done, we'll have Jim be the lead as far as once you two are done offline. Email it to me, Jim, and if you remember, copy Jim Deeds.
I've also got a couple of draft copies that we did a long time ago, and I think
the
town manager gave us something from Dover how they address it in the city. So I'll make sure you all get a copy.
So Jim will send that to all of us. We don't want to get a conversation going. Just then Jim Balicki and Mark will take it offline, work on language, shoot it to me and Jim Dietz again, and then I'll schedule a meeting, you know, that says either we're going to, it'll probably be like this. We'll probably take your language, I'll give it to Fred to make it into an ordinance.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
And then we'll have a public hearing the same day. We'll just do a public hearing. We'll do a discussion, public hearing, close the public hearing, and a vote to see if we recommend anything to the town, unless I hear anything else from the audience if we're off track.
So that's one meeting that you just identified.
Yeah, that'll be, we could probably, you know, who knows, you know, what we get done in timing wise, but, you know, we might be able to handle two issues in one meeting. We might just want to take them separate depending on what the timing is. There's no deadline, but let's try to get something, you know, where we're at, you know, by the summer or so, you know, so we don't forget about this. And, you know, we'll see what we can handle in meetings. We don't want to put too much in these meetings in the summer because then we can't get to, you know, our own personal activities. But we will get this done, and unless we get told otherwise from our beloved town commissioners who are keep us employed here.
Money we pay you.
Yeah. Or it's part of our entertainment for the weekends when we come down. So it's fun. So I think we've got a good group. I don't see any more comments on three. And now we're at the point where we'll planning commission comments. I have none. Start with Jim. None.
No.
David?
No comments. The only thing is, do we want to talk about our next meeting dates?
I would say we could. We might have to change it. So let's see. So we got three things going on. We got you with your driveway parking, and you're out in April. So we might be looking at May or June type time frame for next meeting, unless we get any more assignments. Was there any assignments from today that you guys recall?
Well, you have Chris Fozzi to work.
Yeah. So we got that. So we should probably just have a meeting on that at least. Now that he's on board, you know, we can give him a notice to proceed. And so I'm thinking May. Get you back in town.
I mean, Rick's also back in town, I'm assuming, by May, right?
Yeah, he's mid-May. Yeah, so it's almost going into Memorial Day weekend. We might have to look maybe the weekend after Memorial Day weekend. That gives us time to get ordinances written. Memorial Day weekend's the 23rd.
So you're thinking the 30th?
I'm thinking that, if anybody has any objections. May 30th weekend? No. That's the weekend after
I'm out of town. Out of town. May 30th. I'll be in the Midwest for a week.
I'm already meeting that day.
Okay, so what about the...
If you do May 30th, you don't have to be... You can do it here in the evening, probably.
Okay.
Because the lifeguards will...
Yeah, so we might have to do it go back to the Friday night thing.
I mean, you could do it...
No, we don't.
We've got a token charter in here that day.
What do you...
Early...
What about the weekend of the 16th? Is Rick back by then?
Yeah, Rick May is good. And...
I don't think he's back by then. I'm working on the 16th, so I won't be here. But I mean, we could have a meeting then. I think he said that the week, if I recall correctly, it was the week of the 20th is when he was back. But I could be wrong.
Okay.
You want me to try? Want me to try to do an email thing?
Why don't we just do an email thing?
Yeah.
Because everyone's calendars once you get into early summer, everyone's calendars are filling up with stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We could possibly. Look into weekend of May 2nd.
I'm not back the weekend of May 2nd.
May 2nd,
and Rick's not back either.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know for anything on the on all the zoning stuff, I know he wants to be part of that.
What about
leaves on May 2nd?
So. What about June 6th? How's that looking for anybody? June 6th.
That's good.
So we might be able to do what about a Friday night, June 5th? You think you could get down in time for June 5th?
That'd be good.
You could like pop over for maybe we kept it tries limited. Try it. So let's do a tentative. Any objections to a Friday night, June 5th type thing? Like maybe do it and try to. The agenda item would be let's get the north end, the zoning code stuff, ramped up. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, there's only one thing. It might be a little more important just in terms of timing. We're probably going to refer to you. The issue of better specification for what is meant by closing time for businesses operating under a conditional use approval.
Uh-huh, okay.
The town has asked for clarification on that. And kind of the basic, you put it into two pieces here. It's either closing time means everybody's out the door by closing time, or closing time means that no new patrons come in and everybody can finish their food or drink or whatever it is.
Okay.
But the town's asked for clarification, so we're probably going to kick that to you guys for public hearings and discussion and recommendations back to the commissioner.
Okay.
And public hearings and a final vote.
So that maybe we'll add that to June 5th, or if you guys want that sooner, would you want that sooner?
Yeah, I was just thinking in terms of the town being able to have some sort of enforcement. Right? Maybe June 5th is...
Well, you could do that with a quorum sooner, as long as you can get a quorum for a day.
Yeah, so...
Just put that on your plate, and you can figure out what's the best way to do it. Because we haven't voted on it yet.
All right, so I don't know if we could get it done by the 21st. That's 2 weeks, because we need 14 days for public notice, so we can't do it that quick. So let's see. What's happening now? That's vacation.
Well, it would be an ordinance, but it would be part of
the
zoning ordinance. That's why we want to kick it to.
That might be April 18th, April 17th.
Whatever you do, you're going to have to advertise that if it's going to be an ordinance for a public hearing.
It has to be a public hearing.
Yeah, so maybe we do this. We do the next meeting. You're out of town in April?
Yeah, so but I mean, this type of thing, I think you can just do with a quorum.
Yeah,
right.
Right. So I'm going to be, since, what about April 18th for you guys? Any problems April 18th?
What, 18th of what?
April 18th, we'd probably hear the closing time
issue. Yeah, that's fine.
Just keep it simple. Like, do the April 18th closing time only. So we do April 18th, 1 o'clock working good for on a Saturday? Or, you won't be here. Is there a preference on a time on a Saturday for you guys?
No.
Earlier the better for me.
Earlier the better? So
yeah, me too.
You want to go 10 or 11? 11 o'clock?
Yeah, that's fine. 11's good.
11.
What day, Mike?
That would be April 18th, 11 a.m.?
That's a town meeting, isn't it?
Oh, is it? That's a third Saturday. Third Saturday.
That's the third Saturday. Should be ours is the second Saturday. That's what I'm saying. I think April 18th is the second Saturday.
Third Saturday. The third. Yeah,
but the second Saturday is Easter, so did you guys push the town meeting into the third Saturday for some reason?
We have town meeting on the second Saturday, the 18th, It's the third Saturday.
Okay, but you didn't move your town meeting because of Easter, because that's Easter weekend that your guys are going to be meeting.
We have not, but I know the mayor's going to be during that weekend, so I'm not sure what we're
doing. He's not showing up on it.
Right now, we're still scheduled on the 11th.
Okay, so if you guys do have your meeting on the 18th, then we just change our time. But right now, I will look at 11 o'clock on Saturday, April 18th, to hear the once they're going to refer to us, they'll refer to us the closing time. We'll get that done deal. Public hearing. It'll be a public hearing and a planning and zoning meeting for vote on a possible ordinance recommendation to. Clarify.
You get your time in first, and you get it.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go with 11, but we can move it if we had to, if you guys didn't move. So we'll go 11 a.m. April 18th, and we'll look for a quorum. I'll do some emails. It'll be a public meeting, our hearing on closing times. Closing times. So let me do over. All right. So we'll do April 18th. April 18th, 11 a.m., and we're looking at June 5th, Friday, and then Friday, June 5th, at around 5:36. Can you get down there that early? What about you, Marty? You guys get down here that early?
June 5th, yeah.
So we'll say 5:30, and that'll be the first, the FAR meeting. FAR meeting. And that's just, I don't think we'll do a public hearing on that day. I think we'll bring... get Fazio to do some research, and we'll do a discussion first of all, and then we'll have plenty of time to do the public hearing. Just got to see where we're going with it. So that'd be June 5th. So I'll get both those meetings on the calendar and get some agendas around rolling, and we'll go from there. Okay. Any other discussion? Mark?
No,
Marty?
Nothing.
Jimmy? You good?
No, good.
All right. A motion to close, or motion to end the hearing or meeting?
Second motion.
All right, and you got a second from Mark. All in favor of ending the meeting, say aye.
Aye.
All right, all in favor, we're aye. So it looks like we're done. Thank you very much. Have a great afternoon. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, yeah.
It's awesome.
You're welcome.
And it's good to have somebody that's like impacted by this.
Well, the funny thing is we're talking about it.
Let me get this. I don't know how to close that.
I thought the
Hey, Kate.
Pricing included was live.
Yes.